The text is the gospel reading from John 4. The verse before our text says it was necessary for Jesus to pass through Samaria. It wasn't necessary for the disciples traveling with Jesus, but only for Jesus. In John 7, Jesus' enemies called him a Samaritan to slur him. In Luke 10, we see the ministry of Jesus in terms of the Good Samaritan. Today, the Good Samaritan comes to Samaria, and songs break out. The first song I hear is that Marty Robbins classic, Cool Water. If ever a song can make you thirsty, it can. It's a ballad about a cowboy traveling through barren lands with his old mule, Old Dan. It goes, all day I faced a barren waste without the taste of water, cool water. Old Dan and I, with throats burned dry and souls that cry for water, cool, clear water. The soul of the woman in our text is burned dry for spiritual water, but she doesn't know that. So Jesus starts with real thirst and real water. He starts with his thirst and asks her to give him a drink. And then as she puzzles out loud over why a Jew would even talk to her, a Samaritan, Jesus says he can give her cool, clear, living water. All the woman can think about is water for her body and not for her soul, and so she reverts back to the facts at hand. Jacob's well was deep. We think it was 75 feet down till you reached the water. You would descend by a circular flight of stairs and carry the water all the way back up by hand. Besides, even if it wasn't that deep, as the woman points out, Jesus hadn't brought anything to carry the water up with. This reply evidently leads her on a spiritual tangent. She challenges, if this Jew thinks he's greater than Jacob, expecting him to agree with her that he is not. Instead, Jesus challenges her assumption that the greatest thing is to partake of the same physical water as Jacob did. Jesus puts before her cool, clean, living water that not only takes away thirst forever, but makes a perpetually flowing fountain in a person. Now, the woman has been reached. Listen to her response to cool, clear, living water. Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. Don't you find that odd? Why didn't she just leave it at not ever being thirsty again? Why is she so emphatic, and she is, about not having to come here to draw? This leads to the second song that breaks out when the Good Samaritan comes to Samaria, Jolene. Jolene is a Dolly Parton song about a woman stealing man. The refrain goes, Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Please don't take him just because you can. Water carrying was the task of women at this time. It was a social event for them. They would normally go at the same time to socialize. Yet the Jolene of our text comes at noon when no other women are there. Why doesn't she like coming here? Why is she so emphatic about getting water so she doesn't have to keep coming here to draw water? This woman had had 5 husbands, and now she has a live-in lover. That sort of track record does not endear you to other women. Jesus doesn't go into the circumstances of her 5 marriages, pointing out only that the man she's living with now, that's not her husband. But Jesus draws out this point in a particularly painful way. The woman fairly gushes, oh, that I never have to come here and draw water again. Jesus responds to that with, literally, go call your husband and come here. The last place in the world Jolene wants to bring her live-in lover is the place where the town women meet. I don't think they'd be singing, "Jolene, please don't take him just because you can." I think they'd be staring daggers right through her. After her sin is exposed, something else odd happens. Rather than get mad and excuse her sins, she realizes that Jesus is a prophet and can help her with a religious question that evidently has been bothering her. The Jews worship at Jerusalem, but the Samaritans believe the only proper place was a mountain in Samaria. She thinks one or the other must be the right place. But what does Jesus do in response to these questions? He blasts her. He says, "You Samaritans worship what you don't know. Salvation is from the Jews, not your people. Place isn't important. Worshiping God in spirit and truth is. Living in sin, Jolene cannot worship anywhere, in spirit or in truth." Jolene's taken aback by this, but notice where she goes. Again, she doesn't defend her sin, saying, "I'm not worshiping in ignorance. I am too worshiping in spirit and truth. Even though I'm living in sin, I still believe." This woman is confused spiritually. She has been raised in Samaria. She has been insulted by the Jews, and perhaps the easy divorce laws of the Samaritans led to some of her husbands dumping her. Spiritually, Jolene doesn't know if she's coming or going. But one thing she does know: Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And that leads to our final song, Breaking Out. "I am, I said." We started with Cool Water, we then went to Jolene, and we end up with "I Am, I Said." That's a 1971 Neil Diamond song where the singer asserts that he really is someone, even though he feels like he belongs nowhere. Why this is a fitting song to break forth here is because when the woman says, "I know the Messiah is coming," Jesus replies, "I am the one who speaks to you." In this simple reply, Jesus asserts two things: that he is the Messiah, the Christ, and that he is Jehovah of the Old Testament. In Exodus 3, when Moses says to the burning bush, "Who should I tell the Old Testament church has sent me?" Moses gets the reply, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." The Samaritans were like Muslims in that a basic part of their creed was that there was only one God. By directly using the Old Testament name for God, Jesus is telling Jolene that he is the one true God. Let's recap. Jesus, the one true God, tells the five times married Jolene, who's now living in sin, that he is the Messiah who can explain everything to her. He can clear up the religious confusion she has known at the hands of others. And evidently, based on what the townspeople later told Jesus, Jesus also told Jolene that he is the Savior of the world and her Savior. You have to put that all together. Based on what the town people say, what got to Jolene the most was, "He told me everything I ever did." Now, how can that be a good thing unless Jesus also dealt with everything she ever did? I mean, why else would she go around saying that Jesus told me everything I ever did unless the message also got through that he was her Savior? You won't be singing any songs of joy unless this gets through to you. First, recognize that Jesus knows everything you have ever done, and either right now in this sermon he is showing you that, or on Judgment Day he will show you. Recognize here and now that Jesus knows everything you have ever done, or have it replayed in 3D IMAX Technicolor before the eyes of the world on the last day. Second, realize that Jolene could only go around trumpeting that Jesus told her everything she ever did if she had been relieved of carrying that burden. He not only showed her her many sins, but showed her that he was her Savior from them. She, Jolene, sinful, scorned woman of Sychar, is the reason Jesus had to pass through Samaria. He was looking for her at the well, even as He is looking for you right now. As Jesus was there looking to expose all of her sins so that He might carry them away from her, so Jesus is here today to do that for you. Realize that you can't hide your sins and sinfulness behind reasons or excuses. Even if your sins don't bother your conscience, what's important is they bother God. Even if your sins are small in your sight, they aren't in God's. One thing is for sure, if the load of your sins does not get too heavy for you in this life, you will carry that load all the way to hell for eternity. Jolene got to the point where everything she ever did was too heavy, and all that she knew religiously wasn't enough to keep her carrying the load. At last, Jolene had to admit that only the Messiah could save her from herself. And that's why Jesus is here. He's here to give wicked, dirty Jolene cool, clear, living water. And to do that, He suffers tiredness and thirst. God Almighty shows up at Jacob's well tired. God, the creator of water, shows up at Jacob's well thirsty. Remember what happened in the wilderness when the Old Testament church was thirsty? God brought water out of rocks. Unless Jesus had covered up who He really is, unless He didn't always use His divine powers as a man, the water would have bubbled up right then and gave Jesus a drink as if from a water fountain. But it did not, because Jesus is on the scene bearing our sins, bearing our griefs, bearing our sorrows. He suffers thirst to give the Jolenes of the world drink. Jesus can offer the living water of forgiveness, life, and salvation to Jolene because He bought and paid for it with His holy life and with His innocent suffering and death. He washes away everything she ever did with the water that gushes from His side on the cross. He can save her from her sin. He can rescue her from being enslaved by it because He won the right to separate it from her and send her sin far, far away from her. Later on in John, Jesus will reveal that He is not just I am, but I am the water of life. Did you notice that Jolene left her water jar at the well without getting any water to take back into town? That's because she was deluged by the living water flowing from the Messiah. And it was a gracious water, rich in grace, that carried Jolene along back to town with the message that the Messiah had come. Now, how do I know that? Well, what but grace could cause a Jolene to bubble over with clear, cool, living water? So much so that everyone in town made their way to Jesus and urged the Savior of the world to stay with them. The Good Samaritan had not only come to Samaria, but He stayed. And the Samaritans sang for joy. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.